Abe, I wanted to ask if we've met that match of $500. That would be five people calling in at the $100 level. We'll send you the double DVD, each and every one of you. Please call in. And I want to ask how many lines you have coming in for people to call. Folks, ring those phones for Freedom of the Media. That number, again, I keep repeating it because it's the lifeline of KABU, 877-500-5266.
The phones are ringing, Amy, but we're not there yet. We need people to pick up the phone right now and give us a call. The clock's a ticking.
You got it, folks. Those clocks are ticking. If you want to be informed, you got to see the photograph of Cisco. You know, they break the seal, the factory seal, on a router you may have ordered. They plant that bug, then they put on a new factory seal, and then it goes to the customer. Learn the identity of the corporate partners, one of the NSA's most closely guarded secrets. Some of them known. Information that Glenn reveals on Democracy Now! Identifies others previously not named. Oh, yeah. And he talks about that collect-it-all doctrine, the NSA claiming that a statement that the former chief, General Keith Alexander, said that they collect all human communications around the world, he said it was a joke. Well, he reveals for the first time that this collect-it-all philosophy is the explicit overarching goal of the NSA. And what he talks about is, in this conversation, is not only collect-it-all, what are their lines most commonly used? Collect-it-all. Sniff it all, know it all, process it all, exploit it all, partner it all. That's the new collection posture, as we show the NSA slide in his book, No Place to Hide. The DVDs are yours for $100. Please call in. We only have a few minutes to go. 1-800. Give a call right now. Remember, that's on KABU. The number to call is 877-500-5266. 877-500-5266. Your call makes it possible for KABU to continue. 877-500-5266. Make that call. Make it now. Make KABU happen every single day. Support the sustainability philosophy of KABU as I broadcast to you from New York, where we broadcast from the greenest internet TV radio studio in the country. And if you want to come to New York and actually see the studios, watch the broadcast live, bring a guest, maybe you want to celebrate someone's birthday, an anniversary, a graduation, a holiday. You don't have to know when you can do this when you call right now, but you got to make the pledge. And then we'll call you, my colleague Brenda Murag will give you a call, and she'll say, when do you want to come to New York? And you might know. You might say, I'll email you in months from now, I don't know. And we'll work it out, and I can't wait to greet you at the door when you come here in the Chelsea neighborhood of Manhattan in the shadow of the Empire State Building. So that's a $2,000 pledge, but at least know it's a tax-deductible charitable pledge, and it goes directly to KABU. Please call 877, make that call, 500-5266. We'll send you the double DVD based on Glenn Greenwald's No Place to Hide, the interview we did with him for 2 days, and the event he's going to have with Noam Chomsky in Cambridge, Massachusetts this week. We're filming it, and we're putting it into the DVD set. That number again, 877-500-5266. Thank you so much for being there. I hope you've met your goal. Keep those phone calls coming in. Keep KABU alive. We need independent media in a democratic society. Thank you for even thinking about it. Now call 877-500-5266.
Amy, thank you for joining us this morning, and we really appreciate your help. And thank you for all the good work you do every day.
Thanks so much, Abe. Keep those phone calls coming in, folks.
You heard it here first, ladies and gentlemen. That was Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, the preeminent journalist operating on the America's airwaves, helping us meet our anonymous $500 matching gift this morning. It looks like we're well on our way. We don't have a final tally yet, but things are looking good. But phones are still open. Pick up the phone and make a call right now if you haven't done it. 877-500-5266.
Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with our host, Sam Bowman. Today's guest is Elise Higley with the Our Family Farms Coalition, and we'll be talking about Jackson County's attempt to ban genetically modified crops.
KABU Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Calling Forth the Mythic Fire, an evening of wild storytelling on Saturday, May 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio, located at 1847 East Burnside, number 104 in Portland. Storyteller Brian Rohr will invite the listener to follow the wisdom inherent in the old stories. Utilizing the drum and the spoken word, Rohr helps us journey to a place where we ourselves live, breathe, and dance among the ancient tales. Rohr is a member of the National Storytelling Network, the Healing Story Alliance, the Portland Storytellers Guild, and the Jewish Storytelling Coalition. Again, that's Calling Forth the Mythic Fire, an evening of wild storytelling on Saturday, May 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
This KBOO program has been made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale. Full Circle accepts like-new natural fiber clothing, jewelry, and accessories for consignment or store credit. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont, and on the web at gazellenaturalfiberclothing.com or fullcircleresaleportland.com.
Oh, the farmer comes to town with his wagon broken down. Oh, the farmer is the man who feeds us all. If we'd only look and see, well, I think that we'd agree that the farmer is the man who feeds us all. The farmer is the man.
Much has been made of the... You are listening to a special edition of Wednesday Morning Talk Radio here on KBOO Portland. My name is Sam Bowman, and you are listening during our spring membership drive. Please remember to call in 877-500-5266. And today we are going to be talking about the GMO ban measure that is on the ballot in Jackson County. And much has been made of the money being pumped into the ongoing scrum over a proposed water district in Portland, but there is another measure on the ballot in Jackson County that has attracted just as much controversy and far more money. Measure 15-119 would pass the genetically modified plant ordinance into law by popular vote, making it illegal to, quote, propagate, cultivate, raise, or grow genetically engineered plants in Jackson County. Jackson County in southern Oregon is home to Medford and Ashland, as well as a significant number of both genetically modified and organic seed growers. The primary group supporting the measure, Our Family Farms Coalition, has raised nearly $400,000, but its opponent, called Good Neighbor Farmers, has raised just over $900,000. These numbers break all previous campaign finance records for Jackson County. John Kitzhaber hasn't raised as much money as Good Neighbor Farmers. But what's most striking is where that money is coming from, almost entirely from outside of the state, from major sugar beet growers, farm bureaus from dozens of other states, and especially large agribusiness companies like Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow, DuPont, Bayer, and BASF. On April 3rd of this year alone, Good Neighbor Farmers received over $450,000 from those six companies alone. Those are staggering numbers for a county measure in Oregon, but there is more to the GMO ban initiative than just the eye-popping stacks of cash involved. The initiative has become a topic of heated discussion in Jackson County ahead of next week's primary election, the subject of rallies, op-eds, and groans from commissioners at town hall meetings. It has pitted farmers against farmers, each side claiming property rights and sound science as their own. To bring us up to speed on the initiative, its history, and what it means for Jackson County and for Oregon, we'll be speaking with Elise Higley of the Our Family Farms Coalition. Elise, hello.
Hello, thank you for having me.
Yeah, and sorry about the delay there. We've got a bit of an exciting morning here at the studio.
But I hope that's all good.
Oh, it's fantastic. But this initiative has been quite an adventure. It's been on quite an adventure for the past year. And it's actually the only such initiative that's allowed by law in the state of Oregon, thanks to Senate Bill 863 that was passed last September, the so-called Monsanto Protection Act. Can you give us a brief history of how this measure came to be on the ballot at all?
Yeah. A couple of years ago, a local farmer here in our county was looking at more land to be growing his seed crop. He grows multiple seed crops, which is actually pretty common practice with our farmers here in Jackson County, being that most of the farms are on smaller pieces of land. And as you know, probably, you know, we live in one of the top five seed growing regions in the world. So growing out seed is a very important part, not only obviously for diversity and to have seed to plant for everybody in the world, but also really helps farmers financially. So with that being said, this farmer found out that Syngenta, a Swiss-owned chemical company that is not allowed to grow in their county, was growing just down the road, just actually across the road from where he was planting, and had been growing out his beet seed crop for over a year then, and talked to them, realized what was happening, went to find out how to even speak with them, went to the county. The county couldn't help. They said, go to the state. He went to the state. He went to the feds. Nothing happened. And so we realized as local farmers and seed growers that we needed to take things into our own hands and created a petition and collected almost 7,000 signatures or just over and submitted those to create our own measure on our ballot this year to be able to vote on whether to prohibit genetically engineered crops. And the main reason being because they just create a serious risk when they contaminate crops in our valley, which is very narrow. There is no way that we can coexist with these genetically engineered crops with the process of pollination via wind and you know, bees and such.
And it's about a 4-mile radius, correct, around a planting of GMO crops that
depends on the plant family, but for beets, yes. For the beta family, there's actually a 6-mile radius, 3 miles on either side, and so that poses a big threat, obviously, to especially when you're looking at a valley, which in ours, most of the time is actually never that even wide. So Syngenta, once we found out that this one plot was there, started researching and looking around and talking to other landowners, and realized that Syngenta, this Swiss-owned chemical company, had actually planted almost 35 plots, only quarter acre strategically all through the prime growing land of our entire county. And so with that being said, going by the USDA guidelines for contamination, we realized that we needed to alert our customers. The farmers needed to know that they couldn't be safely saving their seed any longer or selling their seed, definitely, because we would be violating federal patent law, and that we were also then, you know, at risk of selling GMO seed. And so obviously you need to let your customer know about that.
All right. And so this, am I correct in saying that this is the only chance that this measure has?
That is right. The same lobbyists that are helping fight this campaign and posing themselves as farmers, the good neighbor farmers, are the same people who took all the rest of Oregon's, the county's rights away to choose on their own about measures like this. So we were preempt to that state law because we had gotten our signatures in just before that. And it was actually an emergency meeting. From what I understand, I'm not really sure why it was an emergency other than our signatures had been turned in.
Okay, and Jackson County is the only county in Oregon that's allowed to have this kind of measure on the ballot right now, isn't that right?
There are other counties that are voting. Josephine County has it on their ballot as well. And so they're really standing up for the right. They don't feel that it, well, I can't speak for them, but they have it on their ballot and they are voting as well. And, you know, we support any farmers who realize that genetically engineered contamination is at risk, you know, puts their farm at risk.
All right. And so there are some farmers down who grow GMOs in Jackson County who have, especially like speaking at rallies with good neighbor farmers, who have said that this measure would put them out of business, the cost would be prohibitive. But I understand that you also... your group has also met with farmers who grow GMO seed, like GMO alfalfa, who have actually supported your measure. Is that that's true?
Correct. One thing I think it's really important to understand when you hear some, I think there's a lot of confusion on the opposing side because they have so much, at risk here as far as they want to continue growing on our land here. Out-of-state chemical companies, and so they're really trying to confuse people and farmers about what's going on. They're telling people that, there's genetically engineered trees and that this affects strawberries and hybrid crops, which is absolutely not true. And so, when you hear farmers talking about how this could possibly shut their farm down, we need to realize that the only crop that any individual farmer is growing right now is alfalfa, and that's actually only been approved for 2 years now. So, no farmer is going to go out of business when this measure passes. We can just look at other counties that have a similar measure in place and see the agricultural boom for every farmer there. So we feel really confident that this is going to help every farmer in the county. And we do have the biggest grower and biggest actually farmland being grown was by a local farmer here, was growing both GMO and conventional. And last year was really hit by the wheat crisis that happened with the threat of contamination, along with so many farmers. He realized that, number one is he doesn't want to grow something that's going to be shutting another farm down. And he saw that in reality last year with the wheat, when the wheat was shut out from Europe and Asia because of threat of contamination in eastern Oregon. And he wasn't able to sell any of his crop. He lost his entire wheat crop last year, just about $60,000, just at the threat. I mean, so if he would be in a county where he could have said, I live in a GMO-free county for growing, then he would have been able to sell his wheat. And so that's what we're asking for, is protection to be for our customers that want to buy, that don't want to buy GMO-contaminated products, and also the right to be able to save our seed without violating federal patent law and be in fear of being sued by Monsanto or Syngenta or those big chemical corporations.
As you were saying, that that farmer lost his whole wheat crop, and it seems like a lot of the argument coming from the other side has to do, among other things, with property rights. People are worried that the government of Jackson County will have the right to go on their property and inspect it and force them to destroy crops. But it seems like property rights are at risk on both sides here.
Exactly. Yeah, I think we all have the same argument and fear. Nobody wants, seed and crop police by any means. And but what we're saying right now is currently the way things are, one chemical company or one farmer can plant a crop that can ruin a neighbor farmer's crop from miles away. And, that's what's currently happening right now. And so, we can, again, look at the history of other counties, which is really, telling what's going to happen here, is there's never been a violation of a measure like this, ever. And the reason is because there's this 14-page legal contract that one needs to sign to be able to grow a GMO crop from these chemical companies. And that's why they're fighting so hard, because they know once this measure passes in our county, they're obviously not going to blatantly break the law with, a landowner and start to, have them sign a legal contract where it's then void. So that's their big fight, because they know once this passes, there will be no violations and there will be no cost for the county. There will be no need for any kind of enforcement, because people aren't going to even break the law in the first place. And it's also important to look at the language from our measure. We took from an existing pear abatement ordinance, which protects neighboring pear orchards or orchardists from pests and those kinds of things. And so it's the same language. It's already in our laws currently in our county. And we actually put a protection in there that if there were to be a complaint, somebody would have to have probable cause and have a search warrant. You couldn't just go, the county just couldn't go on your land like they can now with the pear abatement law.
Okay. And so I want to come back in about 6 minutes and continue this the discussion about the enforcement aspect of it. But for now, we're going to go over to Abe Proctor in the membership studio over there. How you doing, Abe?
I'm doing very well. How are you, sir?
I'm doing very well.
Really enjoying your show this morning. This is exactly the sort of example of the locally centered, honest news and commentary that you find on KBOO. And I'm sure our listeners appreciate hearing it as much as I do. So that's why I'm asking them right now to pick up the phone and become a member of KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We really had a fantastic final push during the last segment of Democracy Now! And we really want to keep that momentum going this morning. Frankly, for the simple reason that without your support, this radio station doesn't stay around. It's really that simple. We need your support. We don't get any money from the private sector. We don't get any money from government. This is truly a community effort, and it rests upon your shoulders. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. KBOO.fm if you'd like to make a contribution online. If this sort of programming matters to you, if journalism like Amy Goodman's from Democracy Now! Matters to you, if locally produced news and public affairs programming makes a difference in your life, this is the time to make that count. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. If you want to make that pledge online, again, you can do it. KBOO.fm. It's really that easy. It's simply a question of will, I think. And I know that will is in short supply during the morning hours sometimes. I know that occasionally you need a hot cup of will enhancer before you can get going. So take your time, have that cup of coffee, have another one if you need it, and then pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. And as soon as you talk to our staff of effervescent volunteers, you'll realize maybe you didn't need that fortification because they are genuinely pleasant people. And becoming a member of KBOO is a genuinely pleasant undertaking. And I guarantee you'll put a smile on your face this morning. You can walk around town proud in the knowledge that you're helping support community radio in Portland. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. We've got a bunch of bribes for you, really. If you know, community radio doesn't mean enough for you, standing on its own, we'll sweeten the deal. We've got t-shirts, we've got mugs, we've got all sorts of other stuff for you for as a reward for becoming a member of KBOO. And really, it goes a little farther than that also. Around town is a network of enlightened capitalists who appreciate KBOO and what it does for this community. They realize that their role in this community, KBOO's role in this community, each and every one of yours' role in the community, all add up to a bustling, vibrant town. And they support KBOO because they realize it's part of that tapestry that is Portland. If you take your membership card into one of these supporting businesses, they will give you discounts, sometimes significant discounts, on their goods and services. Why? Because we're all in this together. And they appreciate KBOO and what it brings to their lives. And they want to help show through their support of KBOO, their support of you, their fellow KBOO members. So pick up the phone, 877-500-5266 is the number to call. If you want to make that contribution online, KBOO.fm, take a look around. They've got an amazing number of archived programs, both news programming and music programming. And I haven't even begun to describe the ridiculous variety of music available on KBOO. So take a look around the website. It's pretty cool. The website, you'll notice, has a very distinctive design. And if you happen to be driving along or walking along or biking along Southeast 8th Avenue, just south of Burnside Street, you'll see a building that has that same design on its facade. That is the KBOO Studios. And we welcome you to come down here and pay us a visit. See where the magic happens. See what community radio looks like in the moment as it's happening. Come on down. The mojo is free. You can walk out the door with a spring in your step and a twinkle in your eye because you know you're part of something great. KBOO is one of the things that makes Portland more than the sum of its parts. It sounds cheesy. It sounds incredibly cheesy now that I'm going back over it in my brain. But it's true! 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Make a contribution. Become a member of KBOO today. It's easy. It's fast. It's simple. It's fun. You'll feel good. You'll have something to take home with you, whether it's a t-shirt, whether it's a mug, whether it's a CD, whether it's one of the many, many other incentives we have to offer you to become a member of KBOO. All of it can be yours for a phone call. 877-500-5266. Well, a phone call and a contribution, if we're being honest. And I think we try to do that around here. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. How are you doing in there, Sam?
I'm doing quite well. How's it going over in the membership drive?
It's going really well, but you know, it could be going better. This is the first time I've had the opportunity to hear your program, Sam, and I got to say I'm pretty impressed.
Well, it's not my program, unfortunately, but
well, you're doing a very able job sitting in.
Well, thank you. And I'm here with Elise Higley of Our Family Farms Coalition down in Jackson County. And we are discussing the GMO ban measure that is on the ballot there for up for vote on May 20th. That's right?
Yeah, all 6 days. And we need help down here, too. So I just want to mention that I am a farmer, and Our Family Farms Coalition, ourfamilyfarmscoalition.org is our website, and we are basically 150 plus local farms strong that are saying, you know, we're really trying to stand up for our right to be able to farm and to be protected from the contamination of genetically engineered crops. And we really need help down here too. You know, we're fighting the biggest chemical companies in the world right now. And if anyone, you know, is feeling the urge to help local farmers protect their rights and from contamination, the threat of that, please, you know, send some love our way as well, and support. You can check out our website. We'd be really happy, ourfamilyfarmscoalition.org. So, and just talking, I'd like to talk a little bit, too, about our supporters as far as, you know, we have the whole county grange and all of our local granges. 400 businesses. So this is a really, locally driven campaign versus, like you mentioned earlier, you know, the chemical companies posing themselves as the PAC through the Good Neighbor Farmers, who actually their political arm is funded by Monsanto, putting on a face as local farmers when, in fact, there are less than five local farms that are on their supporter list. Just a little bit about the history of our thing. So I'm not a politician, and I'm not used to being on radio shows, but
I was going to ask what do you grow on your farm down there?
We grow veggies and culinary herbs. We have over 66 different crops, and we sell at 4 farmers markets a week and 3 local grocery stores and local restaurants. And there are almost, you know, like I said, over 150 local farms that I'm basically just, you know, a voice for all of those farms. So we are producing, our whole farmers market actually in all we have 4 farmers markets a week here, and they're all GMO free. So there's nobody currently producing GMO food in our county. So this is really why we're saying we need to be protected against these against the contamination of those crops, so we can continue growing and saving our seed and being sustainable on our farms.
All right, and so despite the fact that Jackson County, as you said, is one of the top 5 seed growing areas in the world, it seems like the organic farming community there is actually pretty diverse, then, it seems.
Yeah, I mean, this is not at all about organic. This is about GMO and not GMO. So it's, you know, once contamination happens, once pollen starts to drift, it can drift from miles away. Contamination and pollinization happens through wind or beneficial insects. Or pollinators. And so, you know, if you're not growing a GMO crop and then your crop then gets contaminated by GMO, you're not legally able to save your seed and regrow your crop. And if you did, you would be growing their patented product. And that's, federal patent law trumps all other laws. And so that's really what we're asking for protection from.
Yeah. And
it's not whether you're organic or not. It's whether you want to grow a crop that is not GMO.
Yeah, and have Has that been, have such lawsuits been threatened against any farmers that you know?
In this county, not that I know of, but definitely you can look at the big budget that they have for in Monsanto for their legal issues. And you know, while they'll make claims that you know, there's less than a couple hundred lawsuits, you can look at their billions of dollars that they have collected in settlements, because you know, you can imagine if I got a knock on my door from Monsanto as a family farmer, I'm not going to have the money to be able to take them to court. So what happens is people end up having to settle and a lot of times losing their farm and their livelihood. And so we're just not willing to take that risk. So we're asking for protection from that.
All right. And so you were mentioning that your group is very locally based. And you said you have the support of like local Granges and social groups. And how are people in Jackson County reacting to the enormous amount of money that's being poured in from out of state to the opposition?
I think, you know, it's actually made everybody really stronger as far as talking to their friends and neighbors. It's really been making people frustrated and angry that so much outside money would be pouring in to fight over a local issue. So on that end, you know, it's been good in a way, because it's really showing their true colors. But obviously, you know, when we're a bunch of local farmers trying to run a campaign, it's very intimidating to be, you know, fighting a campaign that is outspending your campaign by so much. You know, they just doubled their radio and TV ads. Their messages are changing left and right because one message isn't working, and so then they try something else, and then they try another lie, and you know, now it's just getting ridiculous at this point, the claims that they're making. So, but it is scary to think that there are a lot of people that may not be informed out there that are believing these things that they're saying. So,
yeah, I noticed, because I talked to you last week, and I was sort of looking at this story the week before that, and it seems like it was, you know, at one point it was that the county can't afford it. And then they were saying that it's a violation of Oregon's right to farm law, which I think the language in the actual ordinance that you're trying to pass kind of exempts it from that, as the whole nuisance versus a nuisance and trespass thing versus a actual violation of a law.
Correct.
And so what are they saying now? You said that there are...
Basically, they're making claims that this ordinance would ban things that just aren't true, like hybrid vegetable starts. There are, you know, currently you cannot go down to the store and buy a GMO, you know, plant or seeds. You have to sign a legal contract. So we're talking about a very limited number of approved GMO crops. They're making people believe that their Christmas tree lots are going to have to be cut down, that they've been growing for 25 years because they think that they have GMO trees, when they're confusing them with hybrids. So they're saying hybrids would be included, when they're absolutely not. The ordinance says it needs to use recombinant DNA. And so that's taking genes from bacteria or viruses, things that would not happen in nature, and making it its own patentable product. So they're just, they're reaching out because they know that our local community is listening to the truth and to the farmers who actually grow, and they're trying to really scare people. It's just classic scare tactics. I mean, they claim that it would take away funding from our sheriff's department and, you know, the libraries and all the things that, you know, we care about as locals. And so luckily, our community is smart enough and wise enough to hopefully not listen to these ads and know the truth behind it and follow the money and see where it's coming from.
People have been hybridizing crops for what, thousands of years now? I mean,
yeah.
So that's not exactly the...
Right. That's not at all the issue.
Fairly devious there. But let me think here. And also another thing I've noticed that they were claiming is that the measure would apply to household, like backyard plants.
Right.
And what it is a little bit vague on that point. Does it apply to that?
It absolutely does not. There's actually no household plants that you can get that are GMO.
Oh.
The only crops that this applies to are the approved crops, which are what, corn, sugar beets, alfalfa. We've got some zucchini, yellow squash.
And soy, probably.
Soy, cotton, which neither one grow in our area, canola. So we're looking at our valley, corn, sugar beets, which actually affect chard because they're in the same family, and table beets, and alfalfa. And alfalfa has been approved for 2 years. So, you know, for us, we're looking at, okay, those are now plant families. As farmers, we're no longer able to grow and save the seed and be able to sell that seed as a viable source of income and to be able to provide non-GMO seed for the rest of the world. That right has been taken away from us currently. And then you look at the lineup of all the other crops that these chemical companies want to produce as GMO and look down the line at what else in the future will we not be able to grow without it being a GMO. And, you know, I think also it's important for people to understand that, you know, genetically, the current genetically modified crops that are out there, they're only modified for one reason, and that is to resist the chemicals that these companies make. So it's not to create more yield. It is to resist the chemicals that the companies make money off of.
Okay. And so earlier you were saying that Syngenta had bought up these, quarter acre plots?
Yeah, they actually haven't even bought them up. They have approached so many people I talked to said, oh my gosh, Syngenta called me and asked me that same question. They found people who had lost their agricultural tax status. So they were actually paying more into our local economy by paying a higher tax. And then Syngenta approached them and said, guess what? We can grow even just a quarter acre on your land, and you can get your agricultural tax status back, so you'll pay less into the local economy, and we'll pay you $500 a year and grow our sugar beet crops here for seed, which sounds like a great deal to a landowner, but they had no idea that they were taking away and threatening farmers that actually were farming for their living within miles away. You know, like we said, the contamination rates 3 to 4 miles on either side, so radius of, you know, anywhere from 6 to 8 miles. And the good news is about all the education we've done on this measure. People are very aware of GMOs in our county now. I think this is really going to help with the labeling campaign that's coming up in November, just to even know, you know, what a GMO is and be aware. And, you know, as farmers, we're really supportive of that, the labeling as well, obviously, because customers we know want GMO-free products. I mean, you can look at the international market and locally, you know, brands like Cheerios and Grape Nuts and very mainstream, products are saying GMO-free. So as farmers who are not growing GMO, labeling really helps us because they're able to find our products and be able to buy GMO-free foods and know that they really are.
Absolutely. I'm speaking with Elise Higley of the Our Family Farms Coalition, which is in support of Measure 15-119 down in Jackson County, which proposes to ban the cultivation of GMOs, genetically modified organisms. And you, of course, are listening to KBOO Portland. My name is Sam Bowman, and we are going to go over just for a couple minutes to Abe Proctor.
Hey, thank you, Sam. Really enjoying your show this morning.
Thank you.
Hey, you bet. Listeners, I imagine you've probably noticed a theme going here, and that is agriculture, specifically green agriculture, sustainable agriculture, and all things concerning how to feed your body and the world in a healthy way. Our programming coming up this morning reflects this theme. At 9, we're going to hear a special tribute to Eve's Garden. Eve's Garden was a KBOO program from the late 70s until the late 80s. It was hosted by Annabeth Eve Parker Jameson, who died early this year in January. We're going to hear a tribute to Eve's work, hosted by Jen Davis, with help from Eve's two children, Alex and Brendan. That's coming up at 9 o'clock. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, it's Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, On the Dirt Bag, host Glenn Andreessen. That's one of the greatest titles for a show I've ever heard. Dirtbag, host Glenn Andreessen and guest Jim Gilbert take on the hard-to-muster-the-will task of thinning both fruits and veggies. But thin, of course, you must. And in keeping with today's agricultural theme, we have a very special incentive for you, our listeners, to become a member of KBOO. Right now, for a $60 minimum pledge, we will give you a bee kit from Mason Bees, along with a tutorial. This includes 20 Mason Bees. Yes, we're going to give you live bees, ladies and gentlemen. These bees come with paper tube homes and an hour-long tutorial to help you raise healthy, gentle, native bees. These will all be delivered to you by February the 15th. If you call up right now, 877-500-5266, and become a member of KBOO. I can make all sorts of bee-related puns, but I'm going to spare you that anguish this morning, listeners. Instead, in recognition of my mercy, pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. The puns, they are terrible. You don't want to hear them. KBOO.FM is the web address if you'd like to make a contribution online. It's easy, it's quick, it's fast, it's silent if you want to do it online. You can talk to one of our volunteers if you want to pick up the phone, 877-500-5266. There are many ways to become a member, and even more ways that membership will benefit and enhance your life. This is Community Radio in Portland. This is the beating heart of our community. This is your source for honest, real journalism. This is your source for insightful and incisive commentary like you're hearing this morning from Sam and his guest. This is the source for a journalism of the caliber of Amy Goodman on Democracy Now! This is your source for music programming the likes of which you will find nowhere else on your radio dial or anywhere else on any sort of dial, I will wager. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. And again, in case you missed this just a minute ago, we've got some bees for you. For a $60 minimum pledge, you will get the Mason Bee Kit with a tutorial. You can start raising bees in your backyard. It will be all the buzz. I kid you not. 877-500-5266. Yes, a pun slipped through. If the phones were ringing, I can guarantee you that wouldn't happen again. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. KBOO.FM is the web address. Take a look around. Click on the tip jar. Make a contribution. Become a member. It's worth it. It's worth your time. This is good stuff. Not me. Of course not. But this talk radio program. But things like Democracy Now!, things like the morning programming I just outlined for you a few minutes ago, things like the music that comes on in the afternoon, things like our locally produced news program in the evening, all night long, all through the calendar year, you will hear an endless variety of high quality programming on KBOO.
All right. Thank you, Abe. And again, for our listeners, it's those 10 magical numbers, 877-500-5266. And I am back here in the studio talking with Elise Higley of Our Family Farms Coalition down in Jackson County, working to pass an initiative that would ban the propagation and cultivation of GMOs in Jackson County. Welcome back, Elise.
Thank you. Thanks so much again for having me.
Absolutely, and thank you for being with us. So we just got a call from a listener who was asking a question that maybe you could help us answer. I don't know the answer. Regarding the transportation of GMO crops, if are trucks that transport them covered, like trucks that pass through agricultural areas, or do they...
Of course, this is about the cultivation and propagation. So It's about protecting farms that are not growing GMOs from being pollinated by genetically engineered crops. So obviously, you know, in a transportation issue, you're not going to be pollinating crops, and they wouldn't be in that stage of their life. They would be cut and not be contaminating any crops.
All right, absolutely.
And it's not going to change anything in our local stores. I mean, all the feed and everything, people will have the choice to have what they want to buy. It's just being able to protect farms that are here, because our, you know, valley is so narrow and small. Scientists on both sides agree that we can't coexist in our farming in our narrow valley with GMO crops here.
Yeah, and
not include transportation.
Just to kind of paint a picture for our listeners, the Jackson County is mostly mountainous, correct?
Yes.
And it's just kind of is it Bear Creek Valley?
Well, there's actually quite a few valleys that consist in our county. And so there's all these little nooks and crannies, and it's very, you know, there's a lot of small little plots, and that's kind of what Syngenta has done, is kind of place themselves. You can gather yourself why they've done that. I really don't know why. They have, you know, gone across our entire county and made little plots all around. But basically what's happened is it's taken away the right from any other farmer to grow any seed in the beet or chard family.
Well, and that strikes home a little bit for me, I know, because I'm from Western Illinois, and I'm used to seeing, you know, humongous rolling fields of alfalfa and soy and corn pretty much for miles. And on the road next to every 10 feet or so is this little sign that says what brand it is and what the number of the genetically modified seed was that it was planted with. So it's very out in the open, and it's kind of it's insidious in a different sort of way, but you know that they're there. And so this Syngenta thing, like, how would you have known about it if nobody had come up and told you about it?
Nobody knew about it when they came in, and actually there was a guideline set up at that point by the USDA saying that, you know, if they planted a crop, that they were supposed to alert other farmers, and they never did that. And, you know, it was a guideline. It's basically a courtesy. You know, any good neighbor farmer would have done something like that, but they chose not to. And, you know, basically made many farmers lose their contracts. Because once they found out, and then working, you know, you can imagine working for a year thinking you have a contract for something, and then finding out you can't sell it and having to cancel your contract is obviously, you know, not good business. And, yeah. You know, so currently these plots are not marked, and so we don't know where they are, and that's why we're not able, you know, for me as a farmer, I'm not going to use my, you know, precious piece of land, my resources, my time and energy to grow out a crop where I don't know where Syngenta, well, actually I can see a plot down the road for me that looks like Syngenta's plot, but I, you know, and there's no local landowner there that doesn't grow, so I'm guessing that's who it is. It's not labeled. So I know I can't grow, I can't take any seed contract for that, even though that is really part of the seed family that we're really known for in this valley to be able to produce. We no longer can.
Oh, that was alfalfa, you say?
This is beets.
Oh, beets.
Down the road, yeah, down the road from me. So I'm not able to, you know, save that seed in chard or beets, because if I did, then next year I would be growing a genetically modified plant, and I would be breaking federal patent law, along with the fact that my customer wouldn't buy it because they're asking for GMO-free product, and I can't legally sell it to them anyways.
All right, and... So I understand there was you told me about a rally that was held a couple of days ago.
Yeah, there's been, I mean, hopefully people, we have a great website. It's called ourfamilyfarmscoalition.org. There's like 18 days ago when we were, or not 18 days ago, when it was day 18 to the day that the ballots got dropped, we drove 18 tractors through town all the farmers took off, you know, from their fields that day, 18 different tractors, and went through town and just said, you know, please get out your vote. Like, this, your vote is so important to us at a local level. This is just, you know, so important to our farming industry. It's really also important for people to realize that there are, you know, less than a handful of individuals growing GMOs, and that's alfalfa. But it's really about big chemical companies taking away, you know, taking away our rights, trespassing on our property, contaminating our crops. And, you know, the rallies and things have been great. You know, it's a little disappointing to be labeled as an activist when, you know, when we're 200, you know, 150 plus farms strong. To be labeled as a few activists is a little bit frustrating.
Yeah, I imagine.
But instead of, you know, the agricultural community of Jackson County is standing up. But at the same time, it's been wonderful. Yesterday we had another instance where there was some new mailers being sent out talking about that this affects the home gardener and hybrid vegetable and fruits and things, and even affects organic crops was their newest claim. And we just really, that we stood up and said, this is just unacceptable, like the lies have to stop. And they had a bunch of lobbyists coming in for the Oregonian Food and Shelter, which, you know, coming in to talk about this measure. And we just wanted to make a point that, you know, they're having to fly people or drive people down to fight this campaign against locals and to look at Oregonian Food and Shelter, who their board members are. You know, they're people from Monsanto, Syngenta, Dow. Same, you know, with the Farm Bureau, look at their funding. You know, just let's be transparent here, just like you are on your station. Be transparent on where things are coming from. It's really important to know for people to make the right decision.
And so what's ahead this week for your group?
Well, we are definitely on the countdown. we are really just, you know, working on reminding people to vote. I mean, we have actually, it's pretty exciting. We have more people registered in our county than there was for the presidential election. Like, that's how important this measure is for the locals here. And so we just need to be reminding everybody to vote. We have very strong support in all areas in our county, but at the same time, they got to make sure to remember it's a mail-in vote, and it needs to be mailed in by this Friday to actually get to the election office in time, or they can drop it off in one of the drop boxes. So just reminding people about that.
All right.
In focus.
Elise Higley of Our Family Farms Coalition, I want to thank you very much for being with us here today.
Thank you so much. Thanks for giving us a chance to talk about what we're doing and ask for some help out there. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. And could you give us that website one more time?
It sure can. It's ourfamilyfarmscoalition.org.
All right. Elise Higley of Our Family Farms Coalition down in Jackson County. They are proposing a GMO ban for the upcoming ballot on May 20th. And we are now going to go back over to Abe Proctor in the membership headquarters.
Hey, thank you so much, Sam and Elise. That's the sort of programming that makes KBOO worth your time. That was an in-depth discussion about a struggle over the future of the nutrients that fuel your bodies every day. Nutrients that are grown here in Oregon, right in our backyard. This is about the future of a healthy landscape and the future of healthy bodies in Oregon and beyond. And that discussion is happening here on your radio on KBOO. It's important for us to get this kind of news and information out to you because it's important for you to hear it. It's not coming to you anywhere else on your radio or on your television. That's why we do it here. That's why KBOO is worth your support. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. Pick up the phone and become a member. It's easy. It's painless. You won't even notice the difference in your life. A $5 monthly contribution. It's not a whole lot, I think, for most of you. $5 a month, that's 60 bucks a year. That is the price of a pint at happy hour. That is the price of a latte on your way to work. It's something that you can do, I think. It's something that is worth your time to support this radio station and the kind of quality programming that we put in your ears every single day. If you want to give a little more, of course, we will accept that as well. $10 a month is only $120 a year. And we have a whole bunch of thank you gifts for those of you who are able to contribute at whatever level you're able to afford. And our operators are waiting to tell you all about those lovely offers. We come at you three times a year for our membership drives. It's not something we particularly enjoy, although we are having a good time when the rubber meets the road. But we do it because it's how this radio station stays on the air. It's not cheap to operate this station. It's not cheap to keep things going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, 365 days a year. Last year in 2013, those expenses clocked in at about a little more than $2,000 a day. That's about $84 an hour, which is a healthy wage. If you want to think about it in those terms, that came out to about $739,000 for all of 2013. That ain't cheap. That money has to come from someplace. And I'm here to tell you right now, ladies and gentlemen, it's not coming from the corporate sector. It's not coming from the government sector. It's not coming from anywhere else but you, our listeners. And you know what? We wouldn't have it any other way, because if it were any different, we wouldn't have listener-supported radio as we know and love it here in Portland. So I'm asking you right now, become a member of KBOO. It's worth it. Here's just a few people who have called up to either become new members of KBOO or to become new renewing members of KBOO. Scott from Vancouver, Washington is a new member. Susan from Northwest Portland renewed her membership, as did Jim from Forest Grove. Christina from Southeast Portland. Fred from Southwest Portland. Nick from Southeast is a new member. Willow from Northwest. Carol from Southeast. Inga from Northeast. And Ahmad from North Portland are all renewing members of KBOO. And on and on and on. Diana from Southwest. Rainey from White Salmon, Washington. Paulina from Forest Grove. Jane from Salem. Peter from Southeast Portland. Joyce from Northeast Portland. Cynthia from way down in Salem. Anil from Southeast Portland. And John, a new member from Northeast Portland. That's what I'm talking about, ladies and gentlemen. Those people stepped up, put their money where their ears are, made a contribution, became a member of KBOO, or extended their already existing membership of this marvelous radio station. That's what it takes. It takes you. It takes you picking up the phone, dialing 877-500-5266, and helping this radio station do what we do better than anybody else on your radio dial. And that's bringing you homegrown, organic, local, sustainable programming, food for your brain, food for your lifestyle, food for your unique Northwesternness. This is where you find it, here on KBOO. Yes, I said Northwesternness. That is the adjective form of Northwestern, which itself is already an adjective. That's just how deep we go grammatically here on KBOO. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. It's fast, it's easy, it's painless, it'll make you feel good. And as a recent study by the KBOO Institute proves, members of KBOO are more attractive to people of all genders. So if there wasn't enough incentive for you to become a member, think about that for a minute. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. If you can't get to a telephone, you know, we're on the internet. We can help you there too. KBOO.fm is the web address. Navigate yourself on over there. Click on the tip jar. You can't miss it. It's at the right-hand side of your screen. It resembles very much a real-life tip jar and functions in much the same fashion. You can make an online contribution. It's even faster and easier than picking up the phone. But you won't have the benefit of speaking to one of our staff of fantastic volunteers. So the choice is yours, whether you want to make an online contribution or a phone contribution, or if you want to waltz your pretty self right down here to 20 Southeast 8th Avenue to the glittering KBOO Towers and make your contribution in person, you can do that as well. 877-500-5266. Let's just look back over what you've heard just in the past couple hours here on KBOO. You heard part of an unbelievably engrossing interview on Democracy Now! With journalist Glenn Greenwald, who is the man responsible for breaking the Edward Snowden NSA scandal, one of the premier investigative journalists working in the world today. And you heard him interviewed by one of the other preeminent journalists in the world today, Amy Goodman on Democracy Now. After that, you heard Wednesday morning talk radio with Sam Bowman talking with one of the members of a pro-organic farming movement in Southern Oregon. These are issues that touch your life each and every day. This is reporting and commentary, the likes of which you don't find elsewhere. And that really, if you're listening to my voice right now, you turn to KBOO because you know it's valuable to you. It brings something to your life. You know it's true. Otherwise, you wouldn't be hearing me right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. These sorts of things make your life richer. It makes you a more informed, more engaged citizen. And that's what being part of a representative democracy like the United States really is. You may look around and think perhaps it's not as representative or as democratic as I'd like it to be. Well, this is one of the ways you can push back by becoming a member of KBOO, by supporting the kind of journalism I just mentioned to you. This is a positive force for democracy in your life. This radio station helps make the world a better place. Hyperbole? Perhaps, but I dare you to prove me wrong. Pick up the phone and call right now. 877-500-5266 is the number to call.
KBOO Community Radio is proud to co-sponsor Calling Forth the Mythic Fire, an evening of wild storytelling on Saturday, May 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio, located at 1847 East Burnside, number 104 in Portland. Storyteller Brian Rohr will invite the listener to follow the wisdom inherent in the old stories. Utilizing the drum and the spoken word, Rohr helps us journey to a place where we ourselves live, breathe, and dance among the ancient tales. Rohr is a member of the National Storytelling Network, the Healing Story Alliance, the Portland Storytellers Guild, and the Jewish Storytelling Coalition. Again, that's Calling Forth the Mythic Fire, an evening of wild storytelling on Saturday, May 17th, 7:30 p.m. at Hip Bone Studio. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Good morning. You're tuned to KBOO Portland. This morning, we're featuring special programs on gardening and saving the environment. And in keeping with that theme, we start off with a special tribute to Eve's Garden. Eve's Garden was a KBOO program in the late 70s until the late 80s, hosted by Annabeth Eve Parker Jameson, who died in early January. Jen Davis hosts a tribute to Eve's work with the help of Eve's children, Alex and Brendan. At 10 o'clock, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. And at 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative.